Amen. Amen. Yeah, clap on. Yeah. Well, do you believe that song? That his promises to me that he'll always be enough. But I find in society today, I find in culture, I find in the church today, not necessarily this church, but sometimes I do in people's lives, see it in my life, that sometimes we live a life that just says it's not enough. That he's not enough. Because we have this tendency to look with physical eyes at the things that are going on around us. And that can be times that aren't very good. Is that right? And what happens is that we look at life as it is instead of what God wants it to be. And sometimes we live a life that doesn't necessarily look like that Jesus is really enough. No, and the thought is in this song is that it doesn't matter what I see and it doesn't matter what I feel, because my hope is not in what I see and what I feel. My hope is in Him, in Him alone. And this is where we find victory. This is where we find freedom. It's where we find freedom over anxiety and stress, like we began last week talking through Matthew chapter 6. And I want to open briefly to Matthew 6, and just to remind you of a couple of things about this thought of not having to be overwhelmed with life. Not having to be overwhelmed in the circumstances of your life. Not having to be overwhelmed in the trial and the struggle or the uncertainty of the things that we go through. Because just get it straight again, we'll always have trial, there will always be struggle, there will always be the threat of loss. Always. And it may not be constant, praise God, but from time to time we get into places that we get anxious, we get worried, and Jesus is saying, listen, I'm telling you, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't start worrying, okay? Or stop worrying. And he says it in verse 25, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor to your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father, he feeds them. And you, are you not worth much more than they? Stop worrying about your life and don't start worrying about your life. And, you know, one of the things that I thought about is that one of the huge things I know in my life when I walk in anxiety over these kinds of things is I worry over lack. I worry over lack. And sometimes I look at a world that just lacks. Right? I mean, think about it for a moment. The lack of integrity in any given circumstance. Or the lack of self-control when being tempted. Or the lack of power to give continual witness to the ways of God. Or the lack of peace in the midst of trying times. Or the lack of emotional and spiritual fortitude to continue in the midst of those trying circumstances. The lack of authority and desire to share faith with those without Christ. The lack of wisdom and understanding to help others in their distresses. And the lack of wisdom and understanding to get things right, to do life right, to do life God's way and not our way. The lack of resources like money to provide for family, or money to and resources to provide for kingdom effort and kingdom life. We live in a world of lack. And I'm just going to tell you this. This is where we worry most. We worry about lack. Or the threat of lack. And I just want to say, I just believe that Jesus comes to fill you up so much that there's an increasingly sense or an increasingly amount of lack in your life. Okay? I didn't say that right. But you know what I mean. I don't think we lack for anything in this life if we're in Christ. But yet we worry over it over and over and over. Do you know that 72% of America feel stressed about their money in the past month and their resources? 72% of Americans struggled with anxiety and worry over their money or their resources. They expressed, 22% of those people expressed extreme stress. And some of the things that they struggle with, that you struggle with, about job or income and uncertainty. Some folks are stressed over the differences in financial philosophy with the spouse. Anxiety about the future. Stressed about debt. Stressed about unplanned expenses like medical expenses or emergencies or something that happened in the house, like the air conditioner, it stopped working at, 104 temperature outside. These unexpected expenses. Many folks in this generation, the older generation, about to retire, are worried that there's not going to be enough to retire. And I think about, just in this study that I read about this week, is that 69% of adults have less than $1,000 in their savings, and 34% have nothing at all. And they're stressed about lack. They're stressed about it. And I want to tell you, Jesus is addressing this whole thought of being worried about lack. And I'm going to just bring back to the point of last week, is you must believe that your Heavenly Father values you, cares for you, and watch, will always provide what you need. We'll say it again. Is it up there? Do we have it up there? Oh. Yeah, believe that your Heavenly Father values you, cares for you, and will always, always, always provide what you need in the moment. And I'm not just talking about resources. I'm talking about the power of God to walk in your ministry, to walk in your giftedness, to walk in your talent, to say that encouraging word, to give that word to someone. I'm talking about no more lack of power in overcoming sin. I mean, or the temptation to sin, or the temptation to anger, or the temptation to lust or greed or any of those things. Listen, you have everything you need to see the abundance of God in your life right now, right here. You have it. You have what you need. Jesus is enough. He's enough. He's enough to meet every single need that you have. But I want to tell you what happens with every one of us in here at some point in our lives is this whole thought of worrying about this lack. And I want to tell you, God has a remedy for it. To lose the fear, to see the fear and worry and anxiety eliminated, the anxiety of lack in resources and in money and in power and all the things that you need to do what God's asked you to do. God's come to eliminate that anxiety. I'm not telling you that He's come to eliminate the problem or the struggle, but I am telling you that He has come to eliminate the anxiety over the trouble, over the lack. But I also find in this whole thought of lack is that there are certain principles in Scripture that we're called to do, that we're called to live by, that will produce an abundance in your life. And I want to talk about that in the next 15 minutes? Well, no, it'll be more than that. Okay, but I want to talk about that for just a moment for you so that you can begin to look at what the Scripture says about living an abundant life, living a fruitful life, living a shalom life. Okay, shalom being this thought where that God sets us free from these emotional angst of our lives. With all the uncertainty that's going on. This shalom that brings ease of being. This shalom that brings a certain amount of health to you. A certain amount of resources to you. I mean, I'm just telling you, this is what the word shalom means. Peace. And it's just more than just, I don't have any conflict going on right now. No, it's more than that. It's this ongoing relationship with Jesus of trust, believing that He's my Father, that He cares for me, and that He provides everything that I need. I must remember that. And the Bible says, listen, in Matthew chapter 6, quit worrying about stuff. Quit worrying about the things of this world. In verse 31, he says, don't worry then, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear for clothing? Hey, the world eagerly seeks these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But if you'll seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. And I want to ask the question, two things here. Where do you lack right now? Do you lack emotionally? Do you lack physically? Do you lack spiritually? Do you lack in your resources? In your money? Do you lack in those things? And then are you just all tied up with anxiety and stress over the lack or the threat of lack? You know, I love this passage of scripture. We probably quote it at this, from this pulpit probably 15 times a year, okay? The thief comes to kill only. He only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to take away. He comes to steal from you. He comes to destroy you. He comes to devastate you. But he says, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. Church, do you believe that today? This is why he came. An abundant life right now, right here. And I don't know about you, but a life that wrings its hands day after day, week after week, month after month, is not living the abundant life. It's just not. And let's just be honest with that. And you know, you've heard me say this before. This is from the king of worry. This is from the king right here, the king of worry, the prince of worry, who wants his ducks in a row and wants to know what's going to happen tomorrow. That's Fritcher for you. So I struggle. I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. And it's not that I got this or I got this perfectly, but I want you to know I'm getting it. And so must we all. I just want to tell you there's no place for worry, fear, and anxiety in the kingdom of God because of our great Heavenly Father. I got a clap from Teresa. It's the truth. Do you believe that's the truth? That there's no place for anxiety, stress, and worry in the kingdom of God because of who our King is. The King of Kings, Lord of Lords, happens to be your Heavenly Father who cares for you and provides for you. And the moment you get your mind and your heart out of the things of this world and what you think is going to make you happy and put them on the eyes of Jesus, it won't matter what you have in your hand. God will use it and you will be a joyful, vibrant believer in Christ. Listen, I'm not talking about not being concerned. You heard me say this last week. I'm not saying Pollyanna stuff or all that kind of stuff, but I am telling you that there is a place that you can find the peace of Jesus on a constant basis in this life. And he tells us how to do it. I mean, right, the verse before, Matthew 6:33. Listen, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God, his kingdom, his rule, watch, his interests, not your interests, the interests of God and his glory and his love and the way he wants to connect you to people for the glory of God. Listen, to seek the kingdom and its interests, not your domain, not my ministry, not your ministry, not your job, not your property, not your fields, not your stuff, but God's interests. In the minute and the moment that we walk in this, I want to tell you, peace comes. Why? Because I get my eyes off of all the stuff that's making me stressed, and I get it on the one who will never stress you out. Who will never, ever stress you out. Listen, I'm going to tell you, this is by an act of your will and by the power of the Spirit of God, where you get your eyes off of the things that are making you so stressed out, that are just causing continual grief for you. And by an act of your will, you'll say, no, I will seek the way of God. I will seek his kingdom and his rule. Listen, when it's his rule, it means that you're just submitting under that rule and you're submitting to his peace, to his joy. Listen, you're not submitting to some killjoy God. You're submitting to this great God that wants to take the chain away. And I want to tell you, you can do that today. It can happen today for you, where you can just leave that chain of worry, that chain of anxiety behind by seeking first the kingdom of God. And you seek the first the kingdom of God by living the way Christ lived. You know, I want you to turn, let go of Matthew 6 and go to Psalm chapter 1. I want to show you, this is the foundational psalm of the Psalter. You get this psalm and you get everything. Psalm chapter 1. I first memorized this as a teen. And I tell you what, it comes to my mind all the time. I hope you'll memorize it and it'll come to your mind. But I want you to know something in verse 3. He says that the man he's talking about, or the woman he's talking about, will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. That's God's word. He prospers in whatever he does. Notice it again. This is the promise. This is what it looks like. It's like a big tree. It's firmly planted by streams of water. And what it does every year, year after year after year, it yields its fruit in season. And its leaf never withers. It's always green. And whatever he does, he prospers. Whatever he does, he matures. Whatever he does, he moves forward. Whatever he does, he gets to the next level where God wants him to be. Whatever he does, he prospers. Whatever he does, whether it's to your marriage or whether it's your financial thing, or whether it's your giftedness, or whether it's your job or your career, whether it's you teach a Sunday school class or not. Listen, your parenting. Listen, everything about your life God wants you to be like this tree. But let me tell you, this is what he says you have to do and you have to not do. Verse 1, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. He doesn't stand in the path of sinners, nor does he sit at the seat of scoffers. Let me just tell you this right here, what this means. You don't listen to what the world has to say apart from Jesus Christ. You don't get your marching orders from the world. You just don't. He says, listen, I'm going to tell you the blessed person who gets his counsel from something other than sinners, scoffers. But it's again, like we said a couple of weeks ago, we look at all this stuff that the culture has to offer us in the thoughts of self-improvement and all that self stuff. You know what I'm talking about. Self. Carton. You're new to this. You don't have to do this, but this is your carton. It's decaying, the Bible says. And you're either going to live a carton way, a self way, or you're going to live by the Spirit of the living God. You live by this, I want to tell you, you will fulfill the deeds of the flesh laid out in Galatians chapter 5. You will walk in sin. You will walk in worry, fear, anxiety. You will walk in lust. You will walk in anger and bitterness. You will walk. Why? Because those are the deeds of the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit, with the Spirit of God living in us. Because that's really what Jesus is saying. When you seek first the kingdom of God, you're living a life that's walking after the Spirit of the living God, of what God's asking you to do in every area of your life. And I say, quit worrying about this and put your eyes on who Jesus is and watch the love of God flow from you so that you don't have to speak anxiously, angrily, or anything else to your husband, to your wife, to your children, or to anyone else. Why? Because you got the peace of God all over you. You got the Prince of Peace. Why? Because you're seeking first the kingdom of God. You're seeking first this thought of who God is, and that you've decided that you're not going to walk according to sinners. You're not going to walk according to scoffers. You're not going to walk in the counsel of wicked people. But you're going to, verse 2, delight in the Word of God. And you're going to, in that Word, meditate on it day and night. And then you become like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf doesn't wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Keep your place here and go to Joshua chapter 1. This is not in your notes. I am going somewhere else, okay? Joshua chapter 1. I want you to turn there, and it's kind of a great passage of Scripture. It's kind of like, you know, well, it's just Moses is gone, and now it's Joshua's turn. Moses has led them out of Egypt. They've rebelled. They've walked all around the Middle East for 40 years. And 40 years are over, and now it's Joshua's turn to lead. And it's his turn to lead them into the promised land to take possession of what God wants. And I want you to notice what God says to him. It came about after the death of Moses that the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, and saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, to the sons of Israel. In every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I've given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. I want you to see a couple of things. There's leadership being transferred, and there's also a promise. Listen, whenever you open your Bible and you look at something that has to do with feet, soles of your feet, shoes of peace, you need to take attention to it. When it talks about the walk in Ephesians, when he talks about this, every place upon which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you. It says your land. You've got a transfer of power, a transfer of leadership, and you've also got a promise. And it's a promise to this leader that says, listen, if you'll believe that I'm this great God, your Heavenly Father, who cares for you and provides for you, and will give you everything you need, even leading a million or so people into the promised land and settling them all, I'm going to give you the power. There will be no lack. You won't lack the power. You won't lack the skill. You won't lack. You just got to walk. You just got to walk it. And it's the same thought of just the scriptures that speak of Jesus saying, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me and you walk after me and just watch your life change. Watch your marriage change. Watch your finances change. Watch your ministry change. We don't walk after the carton. We walk after what the word says to walk after. And this is what he says. It sounds so much like the Psalm 1. Every place, I'm going to give it to you. And I want you to look from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Hittites. And as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. And no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you, nor I will forsake you. That sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound like Jesus' commission? I will never leave you or forsake you. There's also the thought that I will never cease to sustain you. And that's what he's telling Joshua. And I want you to hear this, really important. This is what he says to us. This is what he says to every one of us in every assignment that God gives us. Jordan, this is what he says for you in this assignment. This is what he says for you, husband, in the season of your life, father, grandfather, the assignments he's given to you, to your family. I'm going to be with you. You just got to walk it. You've got to walk it. You can't just speak it. You just can't read it. You've got to obey and you've got to walk it. Because I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people speaking it, right? But there's precious few people living it. And I want to tell you, we're not speakers. Just speakers or confessors. We are to be livers. That doesn't sound good. Yeah. We're to be alive, living beings, living this word out. But if you're not in this word, and you're not meditating on it, and you're not looking into those places to how I live and how I act and how I move and how I get rid of stuff and how I gain stuff, how I get rid of lack and get gain in my life. It's in here, and that's what he says. Be strong and courageous. Verse 6, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Now only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all that the word which Moses my servant commanded you, not to turn from it to the right or the left, so that you may have success in whatever you do. This book of the law will not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble at them. Don't be dismayed at them. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that right now? I want to just ask the question. Where do you lack? What are you so worried about that God cannot fill that which is lacking? We must be a people that are seeking God with all of our heart. It means that you and me, we're all in. We are all in. We don't have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. We're all in. And there's some of us in this place and some of us listening, watching, that have one foot in the kingdom and we have one foot in the world. And we straddle it all day long. And that's why you lack. That's why you don't have peace. Or you might have peace only for a little bit. Because you continue to walk after the flesh and the world. And you make your decisions by that. The reason why we lack is because we do not do what God asks us to do. And the reason why we don't do what God asks us to do is because somehow our faith has been marred in such a way that we've quit believing who this great God is and who we are and what we're destined to. And I always say this. God birthed within us a faith to believe that you're this great Heavenly Father that provides every single thing that we need in this life to live godly, to live holy, to live a life that worships and reflects this great God. And if there's anything that I can leave you with today that I would pray that God would do is that He would increase your faith. To believe in the power of God who is enough to get you through anything and everything. And maybe you just need to ask that. God, would you have mercy on me? Would you have mercy on my son? Would you have mercy on my children? Would you have mercy on my father, my mother? Would you have mercy on my spouse? Would you have mercy on our church? That God, that whatever is lacking will be filled up by the power and the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be great that you woke up 2 weeks from now and realized, I wasn't a nervous wreck once in the last 2 weeks. 4 weeks, 8 weeks, 6 months, 1 year. But if you want to keep walking, being a nervous wreck, and walking in worry and anxiety and stress over stuff that you can't control anyway, go on. But I don't believe that about you. I don't believe that about you. I believe that you do see that it's the thief that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And you do believe that Jesus comes to give you an abundant life. And if I just believe that and I'm walking in that, I want to tell you, you will conquer worry and worry will be eliminated from your life. Again, not talking about being concerned. I'm talking about this great work that God has called us to. Now, Father, I want to thank you for this morning. I want to ask that your Holy Spirit would come in a mighty way as we move from this place this morning, as we get in our cars, as we go home, as we eat lunch, as we fellowship. And I'm asking, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would remove the worry and the anxiety of lack. And know that you've come to fill us up. You've come to give us what we need in this life. To live for you. To serve you. To love you. To love our neighbor. To be Jesus to the world. I pray, God, we'd embrace it today in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Do you think you could do that? Do you think you could do that by the power of God? You know, it's oftentimes, you know, we ask God to do something and God says, no, you do it. You cast the net on the other side. You go up to the chariot and speak. You heal them. You provide. God always uses the instrument of human hands. He always chooses to do that. And that's why we want to say, God, I want to seek you first. Walk by your Spirit so I can be a part of a kingdom that never, ever lacks. Is that okay with you? That's okay with me. Let's stand together, okay? Jordan, Crystal, y'all come on up here. Okay? Or I tell you what, y'all head out to the foyer and let people say hi to you guys. Shelly, would you go out there with them too? Okay. All right. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord give you peace. He lift up his countenance towards you and give you this shalom, this peace. As you go out, as you come in, all that you put your hand to, I pray in the name of Jesus, you'd be like that fruitful tree in Psalm 1. That whatever you put your hand to in the kingdom of God, in anything else, you'll prosper. You'll be fruitful. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. All right. Yeah. Guys, we'll need you next week, so see Craig, okay?